All right, guys, thanks for joining the Hippocrats podcast. I am here with Alexis, also known on TikTok as the Tattooed Patriot. How you
Hello, how are
doing?
you?
We're doing good. Thank you for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
So when I stumbled across you, I believe you are like the most prominent figure as far as the LGBT conservatives go on my friends list as people that I follow. You definitely have an interesting story and I want to talk about it.
All right.
So you were not a conservative for, you're more recently conservative, right? You just converted?
Yes, in March of 2020.
Okay, what happened?
Newsom, that motherfucker shut down California. I don't like being told what to do. And it's sit right with me to like have a shutdown. I technically considered was deemed non-essential, even though fuck that dude. And I still worked and did covert operations for what I do, which is a dog
Okay.
groomer. And I just worked under the radar because I was not going to live off the government.
So were your views, have your views changed? I mean, as far as like what you believed in, or is it just that just kind of struck everything? I mean, did anything change after that?
Well, in 20, I've never voted my entire life. This 2020 election was the first time I've ever voted.
Okay.
And I was a Bernie supporter in 2016.
Oh.
Yes, I was very ignorant when it came to politics. I still didn't even know much about politics in 2016. I just, followed what my age crowd was doing and what they like said. He was like, "Oh, free college, free this, free that." Like I've had a job since I was 13. Free shit sounded nice, after
Yeah.
working so hard.
Yeah, that's the
So,
biggest appeal to everybody when it comes to Bernie.
yeah, I'm like, it sounds good on paper.
So you, what do you believe in now? Like what has really changed as far as since you switched over? I mean, I'm assuming you were pretty welcomed into the conservative community.
Yeah, I was pretty welcomed. Not at first.
Really?
So March 2020, I converted and looked more into politics and everything. And I had a TikTok account, but I never went to the political side of TikTok. And with the shutdown, like I said, I still worked, but I didn't work for like 2 weeks. So I got on TikTok and I was like, "What's the rage about TikTok?" Right? And I was on Hot Lesbian TikTok for a while, and cosplay. TikTok, so that's
Okay.
all I'd watch. And then, when the shutdown happened, I was like, "I wonder what the political side of TikTok looks like." So it took me a while to get over there, but I got over there. And the first person I ever followed was conservative aunt,
Okay.
and he's hysterical. And he was a gay conservative, and I knew coming out as conservative in general would be, I'd get a lot of hate, especially living in a blue state. And, but like I saw his political page, and I was like, "Fuck it." I'll just make a political page, right? And then I followed conservative Texan as my second person, and then Kit Kat. Texan followed me back, and I was constantly in Texan's lives and constantly messaging Texan. And because I learned a lot from him. If you look at his page, he has really good information on there.
Okay.
And he actually helped me out a lot learning about politics. And I learned a lot from Texan, so I was able to make my political page, and that's how I started out. And then, the trolls came, and my page was stuck on left TikTok forever.
Really?
And yeah, forever. And I was getting so many trolls and so many duets and stitches of people making fun of me. And how they always go after your looks and yada yada yada. And it was getting kind of discouraging. And then I saw Kit Kat's TikTok one day, and someone had asked, and she gets a lot of trolls and a lot of hate too. And so she was replying to a comment, and someone had asked her, "Why do you keep doing this? You get so much hate, like, doesn't the hate get to you?" And she basically said that, "I do this because it's what I believe. I do this for my future, for my kids' future. It was what I strongly believe, and I love this country, and I will fight for this country." It's basically what her TikTok was about. So that struck a chord with me, and I was like, "I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing." And eventually, my page got to the conservative side of TikTok. And also, the trolls actually helped me do more research because I have to prove them wrong.
Yeah, that is true. They test you.
So my content kept getting better and better, and I kept doing more research, and the conservatism aligned with more of my values. Because I am a hard worker. Like I said, I've had a job since I was 13. I've always given 110% at my jobs. I've always gotten promotions, but yada yada yada. So, and conservatism is about hard work, taking care of yourself, taking care of your family, and loving thy neighbor. That's what
absolutely.
It is. That's what it is to me anyways. And so, but when I first came out as conservative in my blue state, so in California, if you have a Trump sticker on your car, you will get your windows bashed in. It happened to my friend.
Really?
Yes. My one of my other friends had a thin blue line sticker and he covered it up with blue duct tape. And one day he took the blue duct tape off. He's like, fuck this. I'm going to, you know, voice my opinion and my beliefs. The next day, and this, mind you, the truck's parked outside his house. The next day, his door's bashed in and there's pee all over his car.
Wow.
That's how it is, being conservative in a blue state.
That's crazy. I mean, yes. I can kind of see that because there's crazy in California, but.
Oh, just, yeah. It's bad.
You kind of have better, you kind of have better ideas of humanity. Like they wouldn't do that, you know?
Oh, yeah, really, no, they sure do. So it was hard for me to come out as conservative. So when I turned conservative in March 2020, you know, was on TikTok learning from Texan and everyone. And then my very first, I've never been to a protest before. My very, very first protest was May 1st, called May Day, May Day, May Day. And it was a protest that locked out of the Capitol in Sacramento. I live 4.5 hours away from the Capitol at the time. So I got up at 5 a.m., drove all the way up to the Capitol and protested the lockdown. And I have this one picture of me on a 73 Chevy painted military style holding a sign that says, "Your fear doesn't trump our freedom." And I posted that on Facebook. And of course, on Facebook, I have all my friends from high school or people I know from high school, acquaintances, whatever people I used to hang out with. And I got hate. I got so much hate for that from people that I know. And then 2 months later, the BLM protests happened. And did anyone apologize? No.
Wow. Yeah, it's pretty crazy how politics can almost destroy a lifelong friendship. And I've lost a lot of friends over my beliefs in politics too. You know, it's, you typically never talk about that kind of stuff. And then when it comes out, it's just like, oh my God, you're the worst person in the world. I can't be friends with you. It's like, what? Over because of an idea that I have, you know, it's nonsense.
Yeah. Was exactly.
I hear a lot from people, gay people, that it's actually harder coming out as a conservative than it is coming out as gay. Was that true for you?
Yes, that was my next point. Yep, it sure hells was.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
Like I said, I got so much hate on Facebook from people that I knew, and everyone saying like, "Oh, like I've known you forever. I didn't know you were a racist. I didn't know you were such a terrible person." And at this point, like only my close friends still know that I'm gay. So okay. I don't. It's not something like, you know, I just like, "Hey, I'm gay. What's up? I'm queer. I'm here." It's like,
I'm talking about it on a podcast. Whoops.
No, talking about a podcast, you know. I like to keep my personal life, you know, somewhat personal. And
yeah.
My Facebook's very political. You know, obviously my TikTok page is political and I have a political Instagram page. But other than that, I like to keep my personal life kind of personal. So.
Yeah, that's respectable.
Yeah. But yeah, like I said, I was got so, so much hate. And like it got to me for a little bit. So I stopped posting political stuff on Facebook. And then when I started getting more confident on TikTok, that's when I was like, fuck it. There you go. Here's another opinion you all are going to hate. And I got more hate and more hate and more hate. The more hate that I actually got, the more conservative I became.
Yep. Kind of fuels that fire. I know exactly what that's like.
Exactly. So,
yeah. So what was it like coming out as gay?
Everybody said they already knew.
So what? Big
deal. And my brother's gay too, so.
Oh really? Okay.
Yeah, but he's a leftist idiot. We don't talk.
Oh boy. How is Thanksgiving?
Oh, I don't see that side of the family anymore. I just don't deal with that.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty interesting actually. I didn't know your brother was gay.
Yeah, he's married, and I went to his wedding and everything in November 2019.
Okay.
We got married and went, and I saw, like, obviously, you know, I wasn't really into politics yet or anything. And we don't talk now, not just because of, like, we have opposing ideologies. Like, we're a family. We should be able to talk.
Yeah.
He had posted on Facebook, all Trump supporters are racist. So, of course, my big mouth comes over. I'm like, so am I racist, brother? Am I racist? And we're part Native American. My grandmother is full-blooded Native American, born and raised on the res, and she is a Trump supporter. And so I was like, is grandma racist? Grammar racist, is that what you're saying? And we, you know, went back and forth, you know, talk about politics on Facebook. And then he brought up some personal family drama and had his friends chime in. And that crossed the line for me. So now we don't talk.
Oh, wow. I have a cousin who started dating a black girl that is huge into BLM, and we argued a lot. And so he basically blocked me on all social media stuff. And it's just like, man, just because I don't agree with BLM, you know, like, and his mom in the family, you know, supports BLM. It's a pretty conservative family, but just him and his girlfriend, you know, they just want to go down that road. Oh, you know, everybody's racist. And it's just like, dude, are you, like, think about this. What have you done that's racist? I mean, are they convincing you that you're racist? Well, no, it's just society. It's like, it's just nonsense. It drives me nuts.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous how brainwashed people are.
Oh, and it's so simple, too. You know, it's all emotional. That's the problem. You know, you get somebody to their emotional peak, it's easier to sway them one way or another. And I guess whoever gets to them first wins. But rationality typically doesn't do that, so it's harder to sway people without emotions. So the truth is kind of harder to believe in that sense.
Yeah.
Did you ever get flack from conservatives for being gay?
No, not once. I got
really
the only hate I have ever gotten was from the left, which again turned me more and more conservative. It's the only hate I've ever gotten. I've got called a faggot. I've got called all sorts of things from the left.
That is one of the things I hear the most from people commenting in my, because I always put on my TikToks that I support, you know, gay marriage and all that stuff. And I get a lot of people, you're a conservative. You can't, why can't I? You know, and they're like, because you guys hate gay people. And, you know, it's so annoying to hear what I'm supposed to believe in because of the title that I sit under. But, you know, I'm just curious. I don't get to talk to many people to see if the conservative party or the you know, liberal parties really are more love or hate when it comes to these things.
Oh, liberalism is a disease. They're all full of hate. I've been bullied basically my entire life. And then, you know, I got into high school and got some close friends and everything, and the bullying kind of stopped. But then, you know, I came out as conservative and got bullied online again. And yeah. I went to got on political TikTok and finally got my page stuck on conservative TikTok. And I have never felt more loved, more supported, and more just like included and like these are my people in my entire life until I met this amazing group of people on this app.
You must be pretty close to conservative Ant. I've seen you guys are together in a lot of the meetups and parties and stuff like that. That's pretty cool.
Actually, we're not that well. My first time meeting him was when I went to Florida. And okay. we connected. And I wouldn't say we're close, but he's really cool. And I talk to him here and there on Snapchat and stuff. And I, you know how everyone loves Ant and everything? He is way more awesome in person.
Oh, really?
Oh, he's a great human being.
And maybe I'll get to meet him someday.
Yeah, he has this way of making you feel like included in everything and part of everything. And like this way of just like making you feel wanted. You know?
Yeah. I just recently started following him. I actually never heard of him until recently. So even him having such a large following, I had no clue he existed. And then people started tagging him in my videos. I'm like, oh, I wonder who this is. And found out he was following me. And I was like, holy crap. Well, it's an honor. Thank you. But he seems like a really cool dude, though.
He is really cool. He's a really, really awesome human being.
So who are your... aside from me, of course, who are your favorite TikTokers, like right now, that you, if you were to watch any political TikTokers, the ones that really get your mind working, which ones do you go to?
Well, you. Texan, like I said, conservative Texan, he's great. He sits there and posts about news and like not just like what the media covers. He like digs deep.
Okay.
And sits there and like I said, he's who I learned the majority of my political mind space from, whatever you want to call it, my research from, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like he, to conservative Texan is great with his information and everything. He's one of my favorites. And then there's White Pony. I love White Pony because White Pony uses his platform to help people in need. Same with Ant. And then President-elect Kit Kat. I really like her content because she's the same with Texan, though. They're both out there. They just don't only make TikToks. They're out there literally talking to their local government and setting all these meetups up to try and do something for this country.
I really want to go to these meetups. These meetups just seem like so much fun. Every time I see somebody has a video of a meetup on their page, it's just like, God, everybody's having a blast. Everybody's smiling. Everybody's taking pictures with each other. They just look like they're so much fun.
Yes, they are. They are a blast. They're really amazing. And like the goodbye, sorry, I can't talk. The goodbyes suck.
Yeah, I bet.
I didn't want to leave Florida. I was like sad. I was like, no, I want to stay here forever.
Did you guys ever have any big ones in California when you were there?
I went to like I said, I went to my protest and lockdown. This was pre TikTok,
Okay.
and then I went to MAGA, Trump car rally called MAGA Drag the Interstate. But I was literally nationwide. So like you plug in, like you know how that they're doing the Freedom 515 right now going on, and it's nationwide. Well, they had a MAGA Drag the Interstate rally that's nationwide, and they give you we drove 30 miles, like in a circle, like on the interstate, with our Trump flags and everything. We had five flags in our truck.
Damn.
Exactly. Yeah. And we got that was pretty cool and pretty awesome, and meeting up with, like, I met new people. One of my grooming clients, I know, found out she was a Trump supporter and told her about it, and we met up with her there, and it was really awesome. And I hung out with her for a little while. And so yeah, we were just driving down the interstate, and we got like a lot more love than hate. People were honking and clapping. Got a couple, middle fingers, but it was actually more love than anything, which is crazy because California is so blue. And like I said, people, you have a Trump sticker on your car and they bash in your window. So it was really actually pretty awesome doing that and seeing how much love we got.
I only went to one Trump rally here, and everybody was super nice. I was expecting there to be protests. There wasn't. But there was cars driving by, basically blasting like their rap music and stuff like that, screaming out the window, fuck Trump, and just, y'all racist. It's like, okay, yeah, well said. But the environment was really cool. Everybody was super friendly. Just the power of going to these things. I mean, everybody is so amped up and excited, and it was really cool. We actually went to a stadium, and the stadium was so packed that it was me, my brother, and our two nieces, my two nieces. When we went into the stadium, there wasn't any seats available because we kind of showed up late. So we're standing on the stairway. Well, you can't because that's a fire hazard. So the Secret Service or whatever, the guards came up and they're like, "You guys can't stand here." And they're like, "There's no seats open. There's nowhere to go." And they won't let us stand in the hallway. And he says, "Hold on." And he goes down and comes back up. He's like, "Why don't you guys come with me?" We got to sit behind the podium down on the ground because there was nowhere else for us to go. So that was really cool. I mean, I was like 15, 20 feet from Trump. Charlie Kirk was there. Trump Jr. was there. I mean, it was a blast. I would love to be able to go to one of those again.
Yeah, they're so much fun. It's like so hard to describe the feeling you get when you're there, and like all the good vibes and the love and everyone getting along and everything. It's great.
Yeah, I mean, people come up, they give each other hugs, they do their speech. I mean, it was really friendly, it was upbeat. Trump made a lot of jokes, there was a lot of laughing. I mean, when the media portrays these rallies, they make it sound like he's like this evil dictator and he's just saying such evil things. You can tell. I mean, it's just a sense of humor, the way he talks. I'm not a big fan of the way he talks in a lot of ways, but it was a lot of fun. And when you're there, I mean, you can really just get his message. And I think a lot of people relate to that. And that's why a lot of people love Trump. He would just say it like it is. It didn't matter if he would be hated or not. He would just say it, in his own way.
Exactly. When we need a president like that. We needed a president that wasn't politically correct, that
Yeah.
talked like a normal human being would, and was just straight up with everyone and straight up with the people. That's what a president should be. Not, see, my mom says, because of how Obama could speak very well, Obama's very politically correct. And there's in California, there's this place called Palmdale, and it's in the middle of the desert. And my mom always said Obama speaks so well that he can sell you beachfront property in Palmdale and you'll love it.
Until he turned his teleprompter off, then he was like,
But he speaks, Obama speaks that well, so.
Yeah. So did Adolf Hitler.
Yeah, that's true. Look what he did. Exactly.
Charisma is just a skill. You know, what do you want? Do you want a car salesman as a president? Because I mean, we all know how sleazy car salesmen are.
Yeah, no, I want someone to tell like it is, like Trump.
Exactly. You know, you want somebody that looks like that. You can see their flaws. You can see they're human. And
Exactly.
that's why a lot of people liked him. He was unapologetic. And I actually originally voted for Ben Carson before the primary, and I wanted Carson to win. But then towards the end, I was starting to realize that Carson would have been a pushover, that the Democrats would have just walked all over him. And Trump, because he was such an ass, was going to be firm in his beliefs, and he wasn't going to let anybody walk all over him. And I was like, we need that. We need that stubborn asshole.
Yep.
So I voted for him, and voted for him this last time too, but it didn't work.
Yeah, 2020 was when I first voted, and I voted for Trump.
So, did you go in and vote?
Hell yeah, I did.
That a girl.
I'm not sending that shit in the mail. And
It's
it was
fucked
my
up.
first time voting, and I wanted my sticker.
Put that on Facebook. Yeah, it's.
I did. So, because I did the mail-in voting, right? And so we had to fill in all the bubbles. So I filled all the bubbles in, because I have to vote locally and everything, right? And I had to do research. So I did all that before I went in and voted, so I can just have it as a cheat sheet and just look and hit the little prompter thingy. And I actually put that, I did put that on Facebook. I filled out the bubble and I had Donald Trump as your president playing. And I'm like, in case anyone. Because, at this point, for months and months, everyone knows I'm a fucking Trump supporter. I keep posting political shit on my Facebook, and I'm not giving a shit anymore what people say. So I'm like, in case anybody didn't know who I was voting for, here's a video just so you know. And I posted that video.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That is so cool. And you know, that triggers so many people too. They just flip out.
Well, by election time, I weeded out most of the liberals and Democrats on my Facebook. They pretty much blocked me or were tired of my shit because, I also attacked the gay community and pissed one of my other longtime gay friends off because I was just basically saying the gay community is toxic and a bunch of whiny bitches. And he messaged me and he's like, "We've been friends for a really long time. I can't be friends with you anymore because of the way you talk about the gay community." I'm like, "The truth hurts, doesn't it?"
What is your opinion on the gay community, the LGBTQ, you know, everything when it comes to like the pride marches and everything? I mean, are you supportive of that? Are you
No,
no?
I hate. Well, I mean, I'm supportive of it in the sense that it's their constitutional right
Yeah.
to do pride,
Yep.
and I consider myself a constitutional conservative. I back the Constitution 100%, and everyone deserves those rights. Whether I agree with them or not is a different story. No, I hate pride. Pride's stupid. It's been over-sexualized, and it's just a bunch of it's an excuse for the gays to run around half naked and act like sluts and
Yep.
twerk. It's Pride's disgusting.
I 100% agree. I believe in all the rights. I believe everybody should be equal, and you know, that's why I believe in their privilege to marry and everything. I used to say that marriage was a right until I realized that
It's a privilege.
it requires somebody's physical, you know, appearance to marry you. So that's you don't have a right over them to do that. So now I just call it a privilege. But I believe that everybody should be able to marry. You know, it's equal for everyone. I don't care what you are. So if a man can marry a woman by law, then a man should be able to marry a man and whatever. And so I'm all for that. You know, constitutionally, that doesn't say anything that you can't. But as far as the Pride Month and the marches and just the overload of gayness,
Yeah,
I
I don't do any of that gay ass shit. I don't go to
yeah.
Pride. I don't fuck with that stupid ass rainbow flag. I don't go to gay bars or gay clubs or anything. I don't do that gay shit. I'm like, what I do in the bedroom is no one's fucking business.
Yeah, that's
Like,
exactly how I feel about
why do I have to glorify it? Like, I'm queer and I'm here. No.
it. Yeah, I
I'm
agree 100%. You know, I people's personal lives should not be advertised and forced onto other people and say, you need to accept me because of this. It's like, I don't even need to know that about you. You can
No,
just leave that
like
in your closet.
exactly. And like the LGBT queers on the left irritate the fuck out of me because they're just like they scream, "My rights, my rights, my rights. Oh, it's out, my rights, my rights." I'm like, "No, you just want special privileges." I'm like, "We already fucking won. We can marry whoever the fuck we want now. We fucking won. Enough's enough." See, this is the issue with the left. You give them an inch, they take a yard.
Yep. I usually say a mile, but yeah, yard works too.
Well, yeah, a mile, 2 mile works.
They fucking go nuts. No,
yeah, that's their issue. I'm like, we won. Just leave it alone. Like, why do we need all these special privileges and shit? We don't. Like, we're fine. I have all my rights. I'm happy. And then the other thing was like the left on TikTok is like, so, you know, oh, you have the right to marry now because of like us or blah, 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 or whatever, you know, or like they're Trump's going to take away your right. And my response is to them, I'm like, why the fuck do I want to get married anyway and be miserable like everyone else and pay thousands of dollars in divorce? I'm good at not marrying. Thank you.
I plan to get married again. I do. People, when I first got divorced, everybody's like, you plan to get married again someday? And I was like, I hope so. And I'm like, why, you idiot? Like, because, you know, it's the meaning behind it. It's the, no, I'm religious as well, but you know, it's not just some like, oh, hey, let's date. If we break up, we break up. It's like, no, I want to be committed to somebody. If we're in it for the long haul, you know, I want my soul to be bonded through them, through God. You know, that's my way of, you know, that's why I want to get married. If they don't want that, then I guess, you know, we're not going to be together. But, you know, marriage is big to me for spiritual reasons, not necessarily for any other reason. But yeah, divorce sucks. It definitely sucks.
Yeah, I don't want to deal with that shit.
I thankfully had a very easy divorce. My ex-wife, surprisingly, I just left her everything. I said, you can have all the furniture, you can have everything, the dishes, just let me have my clothes and, you know, just my stuff. And she was entitled through law to have a lot of my money. And she said no. And I gave her a big hug at the end of the divorce because she didn't have to do that, but she did. So I have a lot of respect for her for doing that.
That's really awesome because most women are shady ass bitches.
Yeah. No, she actually said right to the judge, because the judge said, why are you turning this down? You're entitled to this much money. You're entitled to this much money every month. And she's like, because that's not fair to my children's father that he has to be put in this position. You know, why should I get all this money to take care of the kids while he's sitting there eating scraps? It doesn't make sense to me. And I was sitting there like, damn. I'm like, all right, thanks.
Good woman.
Yeah, I got a good divorce, and it went pretty quick too. I mean, me and her are still good friends. We talk all the time. We great co-parenting. So I wish more situations could be like that. But divorce definitely sucks.
Well, marriage for me, like, marriage is not for me. I don't think I'll ever get married. I have no problem like wanting getting a ring and like having a ceremony and shit like that. But I don't want like it to be like I'm married on a piece of paper. It's always been a weird ass concept to me. Like, well, I love you so much. Let's let the government get involved.
Easy. No, I know. I totally understand that. Yeah, I want nothing to do with the government getting involved. It's more or less, you know, my religious aspects. But also, when you get married to the government, you lose a lot of freaking money.
Exactly. I want the government as little in my life as humanly possible. So I'm not about to get, I call it government married. I will get married one day, but I will not get government married.
So when I got married, I didn't even get married at a church. I got married in a courtroom. it's a long story. Okay. My ex-wife was Asian, and her mom actually asked me for a dowry. And I was like, a what? She's like, I want you to pay me to marry my daughter. And I was what? Yeah. I was like, what? Like, how much money are we talking? She's like, this is funny. Okay. It's the salesman mom. She's like, well, she was already married once before, so I give her to you half price. And I'm like, what is half price? What is this? This is awkward. This is a weird conversation to just come over and have that I was not expecting. And her mom's like, well, you know, usually you pay about $6,000. She's like, you can have her for three. And I was trying to be clever and, you know, trying to bite back a little bit. And I was like, well, we both said that we were going to respect both of our, you know, our cultures from our nationalities and everything. And I'm German and, you know, she's Hmong. And I was like, in my culture, if we get married, you'd have to pay for the reception and all the drinks and everything. And she's like, well, how much does that cost? I'm like, oh, it depends on how big the wedding is, but it could be like $10,000. She's like, how about we just call it even? I was like, deal. And then we got married at a courthouse for like $50. So... yeah, it was a very interesting marriage. I have so many stories with being married to an Asian woman. I used to have a separate TikTok with comedy skits, and I would just tell my stories, and they would get a shit ton of likes. So yeah, it's definitely a lot of fun. So what are your plans now? I mean, you seem like you really are into this. You definitely don't want to step away. You seem to be firm in your political beliefs. And are you planning to further this in any way?
Like become a government official?
No, I mean your platform. Do you want to grow it? Do you want to advance it to other platforms? Do you want to become a public figure? Like, or are you just doing this for fun? Kind of, you know?
Nah, I don't want to become a public figure or any of that shit, you know? I'm just like, I just want to be on TikTok, you know, and get my voice out there and get my opinions out there, get my news to people and let people know what's going on with our country and hopefully inspire others to get involved in politics and get involved in their local governments and get involved with the country as well. Rather than, you know, like a lot of people on TikTok probably just sit there and make a TikTok and then that's it, you know. Like, yeah. I said, Texan, Ant, Kit Kat, White Pony, like the list goes on of all these creators who actually are doing something about it rather than just sitting home and making TikToks. And that's what I want to start doing too, is getting involved in my local government and going maybe to like a couple of different states and getting involved and get our voices heard and like do something about the country and actually do something.
You know, pardon me. I've heard this argument a lot when I make my Black Lives Matter videos. People in my comments will come at me and they'll be like, have you ever gone and protested? Have you ever done this? What are you doing for the Black community? I was like, take a step back and think about this for a second. What do you think you are going to have more power with, going to a protest and being one of the 1,000 standing there? Or do you think you're going to have more power being one speaking to 1,000 on a platform? What's really going to have more power and effect? And that's why I do this. You know, I never expected to really have this much fun with it. I was always afraid to do it, but I never expected to get this much drawn. And so many people going, wow, like, I love the way you view things. And, you know, the fact that I'm actually seeing people message me on the side constantly asking me questions because they're seriously curious how I think, and because it's starting to make sense to them where it never made sense before, and I actually start like changing their minds on things because they see things in a different light. And I love that people are being open-minded and listening, and then that's going to spread, and then they're gonna be able to say that to other people and open, you know, a whole new generation, I'm hoping. So I love this just for the simple fact that I can spread a message and change some minds. I mean, just being even a small creator can make a big difference.
Exactly. And that's why I want to keep doing what I'm doing, is I want to reach people, inspire someone somehow, and bring awareness.
And if people relate to you, that's typically the first thing people do, is they kind of jump to things that they can relate to people. You know, that's why, you know, Black people will more or less run to Black people first until they start believing in the individualism, you know, because typically most people are collectivist right off the bat. They want to jump to a crowd that kind of suits them, that they kind of fit into. You know, so men will be drawn to other men when it comes to certain men aspects, or women to feminism. You know what I mean? And if you're finding a woman who you know, if you find somebody you relate to and you're a woman, so you are more drawn to a woman because of that, you're more comfortable listening to a woman and she has a different perspective than you, you're going to be more willing to listen to her. And that's a good thing. If we're getting people from all spectrums, you know, where you're a woman and you're gay and, you know, conservative aunt's conservative and he's gay as well. I mean, you guys are in perfect positions to change minds that from those very leftist run, you know, groupings.
Group
so
thinking.
Yeah, group thinking. I mean, it's super important to have people like you out there speaking the way you do.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do, and trying to correct misinformation. Misinformation drives me crazy. I even corrected within our own party. I'll run across a conservative page and be like, this is wrong. You should delete your TikTok, or at least, you know, update it and let them know and like put the correct information on there.
Yeah, I just like point out the hypocrisy on both sides. I don't even care. Yeah. And I get shit for it too. I mean, the conservatives, I don't even like to call them conservatives because I really don't think they are, but a lot of people on the right like to give me shit for my beliefs because it's not in their belief. You know, it's like, well, you guys are being kind of hypocritical if you're giving the left crap for being mad and wanting to cancel you, yet you're doing the same thing to me because I don't believe with you.
Exactly. I get hate from, you know, LGBT. I get hate from natives too. Once I tell people, you know, I'm native. I'm a quarter native. Yeah, I got a pretty high percentage of me.
Do you find a lot of natives to be more left leaning?
Yes.
How does that go?
They're completely left leaning because they're about. I under I understand because, you know, my grandma taught me some of the ways, and she grew up in and was born on the res. So she talked about the res and how it is. And the res is all fucked up. And like, they don't get, like, you know, it's like you take a piece of, you take like the worst piece of land you can find and be like, here you go. That's for you.
Yeah.
And so I can understand their anger. You know, it's just like with the Black community. The Black community is angry, and but if they're going off on a feeling, you know,
yep,
not thinking clearly. And Trump actually did help the natives. He actually set up the first task force ever in history, a president ever has done for missing and murdered Indigenous women. And everyone should go look up missing and murdered Indigenous women and what a problem it is. There are, oh God, I can't remember the exact percentage. I want to say like 30%. Of Indigenous women go missing every year and are never found or get raped and murdered. It's a problem out there, and that's why they're very closed off on the res too, and they don't want outsiders there, and that's why they don't want the pipeline there. So okay. I understand why they don't want the pipeline there, because it brings outsiders into their lands, and they already have an issue with their women going missing.
What's your opinion on the pipeline?
I mean, not everything's going to be good for everyone.
Yeah, same with the wall. You know, I have very firm beliefs in my conservative values, and I don't believe that the government should have any power over people. So if you own a plot of land, I have a very difficult time saying that the government should be able to take that away from you to do what they want to do with.
I believe we should have the pipeline because we need to become oil independent. And yeah, I know it goes through some native land. I know it can go through some native graveyards. I know some of the natives are at risk, you know, but something could be done about the natives being at risk. Like what Trump did is set up a task force for the missing and murdered Indigenous woman.
Mm-hmm.
And something could be done about that, you know, but we.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
And I am 100% for the wall. My grandpa came over from Mexico.
Okay.
I'm third generation immigrant on my dad's side and fourth generation immigrant on my mom's. So I have immigrants in my family, and I am 100% for that wall. I do not want people in my country unless you come here the legal way.
Now, I am 100% for the wall as well. Like I said, the only issue I have is the government being able to come in and saying, we're taking your land to do this. You know, I believe there should be some kind of capitalist agreement. You know, like, yeah, but, you know, give me this,
yeah.
Which usually that happens. But the government is very bad when it comes to that because they have so much power. They usually just come in and say, we're going to offer you this, and they're going to offer less and less and less. And I've already seen so many people have to deal with that, with losing their land to like highways and stuff like that. You know, the government just comes in and be like, hey, we'll give you this. And it's like a low ball offer. And then they'll just go lower and lower and lower until they force you out of it. And yeah. I've never been a fan of that. You know, I think that, that's bullshit. I don't think the government should have that kind of power over people's land. I think there should be some kind of mutual agreement. But I do think that we need a wall. Absolutely. I never understood the idea of letting water pour into a sink and letting the drain plug so it fills up. You know, you gotta get rid of the old, and you have to be able to block in the water from coming in. And
sorry, go ahead.
Oh, it's just an idea where everybody thinks you have to do one at a time. Like, well, yeah, you can put a border, but we have all these people in here already. We'll get rid of them too, you know? I mean, or at least make a fast pathway to citizenship or something, you know? You can do both at the same time. Why does one overpower the other? Why can't you do both? So I don't know. The whole idea of we shouldn't do the wall because of the people already here is just illogical to me. It's, no, we need to do the wall first. That's the priority because that actually stops the flow. It makes it more containable and more manageable.
Yeah, and then, exactly.
You know, then you can deal with what's inside. And I don't know. I think we definitely need a wall. As far as the pipeline goes, you know, I'm kind of torn on that. I don't really know if I'm for or against. I mean, I'd be for it if there was no like stolen land. You know what I mean? Like people going in and saying, hey, we're taking your land to do this. If it was mutually agreed upon, then absolutely.
Yeah, I can agree. I can agree with that. But see, the thing is, I don't understand why people are so against the wall. I'm like, you have a wall around your fucking house, and you need to fight with the HOAs to get that shit done. But yet the wall around our home country, you don't want. Doesn't make sense to me. But okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me either. A lot of conservatives would actually disagree with me on this, but I would be open borders if we didn't have any socialist programs whatsoever. If everything was 100% capitalist, where we're not paying the government to fund things, and everybody kept everything they earned, then absolutely open up the borders, let people come in and work for money and create competition. But if I'm paying for people to come in and start their lives, well, that's not fair to everybody else, you know?
Yeah, I disagree with that one because people should be vetted to come over. You don't know, MS-13. Look what they do. And are they from Mexico or they're from
Yeah,
Mexico?
they are.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, see, to me, criminals, they just get punished. You come in here and you get caught, boom. I do agree. I think that punishment should be way more severe when it comes to certain things. I'm very, very heavy on the punishment aspect of it. I don't believe that. How do I say this? The whole idea of bad people coming over the border was never really my biggest concern. It was more or less just the containment and the citizenship. I do think that if we had open borders, it wouldn't be really too different than what it is right now, because it would be less of a draw for people to come over. The fact that everything is illegal is the reason why we have so many issues in the first place. If it was legal to grow your own marijuana or to, make your own guns or to any of that stuff, then it wouldn't matter anymore. People would just do it.
Well, people, there's a lot of opportunity in this country, and there's a lot of freedom in this country. And that's why people want to come here, is for the opportunities and freedoms presented to them. A lot of the Asian community who's come over, who are immigrants, don't live off the government tea and are very successful. Same with Indians; they're very, very successful because this is a land of opportunity, and that's what draws them to this
I don't think that
country.
draws the bad people necessarily. Hear me out. The things that we have that are illegal are what draws the bad people in, because that's where they can make the most money, because there's such a huge demand for bad things that are illegal here, that we get them from over the border, like the drugs and the guns and stuff like that. If that stuff was legal, then the people coming over the border wouldn't be necessary, except for sex trafficking. That one would not matter, because obviously that would always be illegal. Unless we legalize prostitution or something like that, maybe that would change things. But obviously, children would not be legalized, and that's what they're going after. So that would definitely a big th that would be a big thing. The wall would definitely help with that. But I would still want a wall, even if we were open borders. I'm just saying, I want open borders as far as people can come in and out. But as far as becoming citizens and stuff like that, I just don't like the idea of people flowing in and just collecting from whatever programs they want. I don't think that is equal for anybody. That's not fair. You're infringing on people's rights, and very much against that.
I'm against most of the programs. I'm okay with, a woman gets pregnant, her husband leaves her, and she hasn't worked, because he was the sole income, and now she's shit out of luck, I believe there should be programs like that for like certain circumstances, but there should be like a deadline too, and also like you need to be drug tested, and then also you need to be actively looking for a job. And you have to like turn in your application and your proof that you're actively looking for a job, though, at the same time.
When Trump had that idea where he wanted to just do like the box of goods to people's doors, I was for that. I was like, hey, that's a fucking good idea. Just drop off essentials to people that need it, instead of having the certain welfare programs that we had. And people are like, that's bullshit. We should be able to pick our own foods and stuff. It's like, well, why?
Food is food.
Exactly. Why, if you can't afford it, why are you being picky?
Yeah, be great, be grateful.
Exactly. And that's one of the biggest issues I have, is the entitlement to people's money that drives me nuts. If somebody is thankful, which I've had many people that I've just given money to just because they were thankful and appreciative, it's the people who act entitled, like, dude, give me money. Like, I can't believe that, this is mine. No, it's not. It's mine. And you're telling me it's yours. It's like, I don't want to give you anything. And this creates this classism that we have. This is why, if somebody's going through the line at a store and they're using a food stamp card, usually there's people that are looking at them and they're like, oh man, like, I don't like you. Well, there's a reason. It's because that money's being taken by force. If it was given you know, by their choice, if they just donated that money, said, here's $100, spend in what you want, then they'd be like, hey, I gave this to you, so you can spend in what you want. But if you take it from me, well, that creates tension. And
yeah, exactly.
So yeah, I just, oh, our system just keeps going farther and farther in one direction too. And it scares the shit out of me because it's, what can we do?
I used to have that entitlement, you know, when I was a lefty.
Me too.
And I thought I was owed shit. And I thought I was owed by the government. The government don't know you shouldn't, neither does anyone else. You should work for a living, and you should work for everything you have. If you want, if you want that Rolex, go fucking work for it.
Yep.
If you want it that badly. If you want that fancy car or like the iPhone 11, go work for it. The government doesn't owe you shit. And neither do your parents, neither do your siblings, neither does your best friends. The only person that owes you is you.
Yeah, and I mean, I lived in Minneapolis for a little while because I was actually homeless for a little bit. And we were trying to get on some programs to help us out. And we went to the local, I don't even know what you call it, like the welfare place where you fill out your application. And they actually pay really well in big cities, which I did not know. But you go in there and there are so many women having like Gucci purses or Michael Kors, you know, brand new Jordans on, brand new iPhones. And it's just like, you guys are going for welfare.
Like, right.
You guys probably have like four TVs in your house, probably have nice cars. You know, it's just our system definitely needs to be gone through with a fine tooth comb. We need to really make it harder. You know, I know that they ask you how many vehicles you have and what's their value of the vehicles and stuff like that. I think, you know, maybe people should have to sell a vehicle or something like that. You know, it should not be so easy. I've seen so many people abuse the system. So many people, a lot of my family members actually, where they would try to get disability, and they would get drugs for the disability, and they would try to sell the drugs. Well, then they get caught and they go to prison and they get out and they do it again. You know, it's just so many things in our system that need to be fixed
and changed. Yeah, the prison system sets people up to fail.
Yes. Yes, they absolutely do. And, you know, I've gone through that system. They treat you like a piece of crap. They basically, they almost make it so when you get out, you can't work again, that you can't find a place to live, and that everybody looks at you like you're just a lower than dirt, and it makes it extremely difficult for people to get up on their feet and get back on track, you know? So they have to resort to illegal matters in order to live.
To live, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I believe everyone deserves a second chance, unless you're a pedophile. Then you do not. But
yeah, well, they should have longer sentences, let's be honest.
And then you do not. But like most people in the prison systems, like, they do change, and they were just wrong place, wrong time, and made a stupid ass decision, you know?
Yeah. I wish that we were, you know, I know there's a lot of conservatives that disagree with it. They're very firm on, you know, if you make a punishment, you should be punished for life. I think that you live out your sentence, and when you are done, you almost not clean your slate, but you're back to your normal citizenship. Because when you're a criminal, or when you have that on your record, especially if you're a felon, it stays on your record for your entire life. So it doesn't matter if you committed a crime 30, 40 years ago, and it was your only crime, and it was just some stupid thing you did as a kid, people are still going to treat you the same. And I don't like the way that system is run. I believe that if you serve your sentence, that was a sentence that you served to punish you for what you did wrong. And now you get your next chance. And if you fuck up a second time, well, make it longer, make it harsher. You know? Yeah,
exactly. I agree with that. Cause well, before I turned 18, I was technically a felon too. I got a felony when I was 15. And
you rebel.
I got put in juvenile hall and put on house arrest and put in probation and all that shit. And I committed a felony, but I made a deal with the judge. As long as I stayed good until I was 18, then my record would be expunged.
Okay. See, mine, I was going in for a misdemeanor, and the judge on my sentencing day changed it to a felony.
Ooh.
To show me as an example not to make these mistakes in the city. So yeah, that fucked me over.
That's I got lucky. Well, I didn't, like, when I got out of juvenile hall, I didn't change it. I just got smarter and didn't get caught.
That's just it. It's the people who haven't gotten caught yet. Yeah.
But technically, yeah, I got, but I would have a felony on my record otherwise.
That really fucks a life up.
Yeah, it sure would have.
Mm-hmm. Now I can go for my citizenship rights, so I can actually, you know, own guns and you know, do all the things that non-felons can do. But I have to wait another 6 years because of the program that I'm on, and you have to be fully done with everything. And mine is a 21-year sentence in that way. So I have to wait 5 more years, and then I can apply to own guns and stuff again as a felon. But
that sucks.
Yeah, it does, because I love guns.
I love guns too. I think everyone should have the right to own a gun, whether you're a felon or not. Unless, like, you
got unless it's charge, yeah, unless it's like a violent felon.
Yeah. Unless you're violent, then obviously.
Yeah. Which mine was not. So.
Yeah, but it's your constitutional right to own a gun.
Yeah, you know, once you become a felon, your rights go away. You lose rights. You're not considered a normal citizen anymore. Which is fine, I guess. You know, I totally understand that, but it depends on what you do, you know.
Exactly. It depends on what you do. I don't think all your rights should be taken away.
Yeah. You know, you can't vote. There's a lot of things behind it. I mean, I should write a freaking book on how crazy it was to go through this experience. But, you know, someday I'll talk about it on, maybe I'll make a podcast, or I'll talk about it on TikTok or something like that. Because to come out of it is extremely difficult. You need a certain mindset. And a lot of people get so discouraged when they go through the system and are treated like they're lower than dirt, and they come out and nobody wants to deal with them, and they feel left alone. And I feel like there needs to be bigger voices out there to be like, hey, you can do it. You know, don't let this discourage you. You're in charge of your own life. You know, you need to get out there and just say, hey, you know, I need to better myself to be more recognized. That's what I did. You know, I became really good at the job that I was doing, so that way I was actually wanted. No matter what I had on my record, and you're like, well, you have skill set that nobody else does, so we need you. So who cares, you know, if you have a felony on your record or not? So I just made smarter decisions, and I'd love to try and help people to make decisions like that. Because
you should totally do a podcast like that and like get your story out there.
I will eventually.
Have you ever seen Pitbulls and Parolees? I like that shit. Like, animals are really, really therapeutic to people, and they do really heal people and change people.
Yeah, you have what, 5 dogs?
Yeah. I have 25 animals on my property.
Jesus. 25 animals and no girlfriend.
No.
I don't know. I'm detecting a pattern. You're like the crazy cat lady.
I have 5 cats. 7 chickens, 2 roosters, and 3 horses.
Okay. Well, that's cool. Because now you have the other animals. It at least makes you seem like you're like a farmer or something. No, that's pretty cool. I don't have any animals. I had a cat that I got in my divorce, and I got it just because I was an idiot, and but my kids fell in love with it, so I kept it. Well, now the cat hates me. I don't know why. So my kids, she loves my kids, and my kids love her, but she hates me. I'm never around her anymore. That's why. So I'm a stranger now.
But, well, that's why, because she's a girl. Female catchers are cats are bitches.
I named her Chanel, man. She's fucking like schmoozy.
And you named her Chanel. Okay, that should tell you something.
Damn female cats. No, I love cats. I'm a cat guy.
I'm a dog person, but
are you?
Yeah, I'm a I like dogs. I don't really care for cats, but they needed homes.
So. I like bigger dogs. I'm not a fan of little dogs.
I have an 85-pound pit bull.
Nice.
And then I have a 45-pound pit bull.
Okay.
And then I have a Kelpie. A Kelpie is from Australia. There, you should look them up at some point. Okay. They're really pretty. They're really good herding dog, great herding dog. And then I have a Kelpie Border Collie mix, and then I have an Australian Border Collie mix.
Okay. What are those red dogs that are typically come from Japan?
Can't think of.
What is it?
A chow, the fuzzy ones?
Could be.
Or they're, the smaller ones that look like a fox, a Shiba Inu?
Yeah, they kind of look more like a fox.
A Shiba Inu.
Yep. I think they're those dicks. Are... <It's> racist?
They're dicks.
No, I think they're beautiful dogs, though.
Yes, they are.
I also love German Shepherds, Rottweilers, I think, are beautiful dogs. Dobermans, Siberian Huskies are gorgeous. Yeah,
no, they're like, not.
What's that?
No, they're not.
You don't like Siberian Huskies?
They're terrible.
You don't think they're pretty, though?
Yes, they're pretty, but they're terrible.
Okay, no, I just think they're pretty. I don't want one. I just think they're pretty.
Try grooming them.
I have a buddy on TikTok who has like 10 Huskies. He's called the Fit Husky Dad. Oh, and he just walks around without a shirt with abs popping, and he's got a bunch of Huskies, and they steal the show.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they're hilarious. They definitely have personality.
I'm not a groomer.
You what?
I'm not a groomer anymore. Don't tell him that.
Yeah, probably shed like crazy.
Yeah, it's just, well, no, people don't research, as we know. A lot of people don't research. And that the fucking dog was bred to run 10 fucking miles in the snow, okay? And people usually just get the damn dog because it looks like a wolf and it's so pretty. Because they're morons. And usually they have, like, no land, no property, and they're in a small-ass apartment. They're like, come home. They're like, why did my dog eat my wall? She, I don't know, because maybe it needed to be ran 10 miles.
I would be one of those idiots. Thanks for calling me out.
You're welcome.
No, golden retrievers are always a good go-to, man. I get to experience so many different dogs because I go into people's houses all the time, and you just have those super loud little yippies. You have the big, like, happy dogs that are just, like, waving their tail the whole time. And, you know, I mean, you just see so many different breeds. And golden retrievers are always, like, so sweet. They're always just so, you know, friendly. And I've never seen one, like, mad bark or anything like that. They're just little sweethearts.
Yeah, no, they're good dogs. I like them. But I groom dogs for a living, and all my dogs are short-haired, so no.
Just shave it.
No, they're not supposed to be shaved.
I know, I'm just joking. Not really, but
I like to shave a liberal.
they shave themselves.
Oh, did you know why? I found out why we, okay, because you know, most liberals are vegan, right?
Yeah.
And why I know why they're called soy boys now. So soy has a lot of,
estrogen.
Estrogen, thank yep. you. Estrogen on it. So that's why they look like little twerpy, squirmy little dweebs, is because they have a lot of estrogen in their body.
I love soy milk. I hate you.
If something's going to shrink.
No, no, it will not. No, I used to go to the Asian food markets all the time, and they have these like honey soy, and they taste really good. So I drink a bunch of them. But no, I have soy milk, or I'll have almond milk or stuff like that with my protein shakes and stuff like that. So I mean, I'm not too worried about the testosterone aspect of it. I have enough. But no, that's funny as hell. Yeah, there are some very beta male-ish men on that side of the aisle.
Yeah, they're all liberals.
Yeah,
I'm trying to start to see a pattern here.
Yeah, I've been arguing with a lot of them. And it's just, it's so funny because they're keyboard warriors, you know, they are so tough over a computer screen, but you talk to them in person, and it's just like, I'm just going to hide in my mom's basement.
They would not say that shit to your face.
No, no. Which I'm really nice in person, so I wouldn't be like that anyways, unless somebody's actually like coming at me and trying to like yell at me for something, you know, but I don't wear any kind of apparel that really draws attention to that. I wear a capitalism t-shirt, so I get the idiots that are all about socialism and communism, but I don't ever get, you know, I don't have Trump hats or anything like that, so people don't come at me for the Trump hats. Not that they would anyways. I'd probably scare the shit out of them. But
I do. I have a lot of Trump hats and like some Trump merch, and it was so glorious walking into a grocery store in California wearing my Trump hat, wearing my Trump t-shirt and my American flag shorts. And I got just so many nasty stares, and it was great. And my Trump mask too, and it was super great.
I just bought some American flag swimming trunks, so if we go to Houston and we go swimming, I'm going to bring them.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So my niece is, I think she's in elementary school right now. No. Yeah, she's in elementary. Excuse me, she's in elementary school. She has a Trump hat. She fucking loves it, and she wants to wear it to school all the time. And the teachers have a problem with it.
What a smart little girl.
Yeah, no, she loves it. And You know, just you're allowed to wear Black Lives Matter hats in school. You're allowed to wear all these other things, but you can't wear a Trump hat. And my brother, yeah, he's pissed. You know, school system around here, I would never expect it to be as liberal as it is, but man, is it liberal.
Well, in California, there you don't stand up for the Pledge of Allegiance. There is no Pledge of Allegiance because it's racist, and they have critical race theory they're doing now in the schools over there.
Yep, they are here too.
Yep,
My kids had to take white privilege class.
What?
Yeah, my white daughter and my Asian son had to take the same white privilege class together. So my Asian son got to learn about how he is less privileged than my white daughter.
Well, no, he's white adjacent.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I forgot. They have to take away the victim power from some people so they can give it to others.
Yeah, he's white adjacent. That's what the liberals say.
At this time, he wasn't white adjacent yet. This was 2 years ago.
Oh.
So,
So now he's
yeah.
white adjacent.
He's full on white. He actually, it's funny because he never really understood the concept of race. And everybody like, oh, you're Asian, you're Asian. He'd be like, no, I'm not, I'm white, you know? And eventually it came to the point where people were like, you know, are you adopted? Are you adopted? And you know, his friends would say that. He'd be like, what do you mean, am I adopted? And like, well, your dad's white and you're not. And he'd be like, yeah, I am. Like, no, you're not. You know, like he didn't understand. And it was a really disheartening conversation to have with him because you know, it made him, he always knew he wasn't my biological son, but just the idea of him like having to like go through the emotions of realizing it, because he never had to think about it before, you know. So it was a really hard conversation to have with him.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, but he's definitely a tough kid now. He got bullied quite a bit, and you know, I just gave him that mindset. Hey, man, who the hell cares? You know, don't let other people bother you. And now he just embraces it. He comes up with his. When I had my old TikTok account, we would make skits about him being Asian and me being white, and they would blow up. They would do amazing, and they were all his idea.
Oh,
And
that's
he would
great.
just keep coming up with them, and he's just making me laugh my ass off. He had this one idea that he wanted to do before my account got banned because my political account got banned, so they banned my non-political account. And he's like, "Oh, we should do something like you like I need to like close my eyes. You can't make it close, so you tickle me." And then I laugh, and then I can't see, you know, like just random shit like that. You know, like where do you come up with this?
I had a very Asian friend, and I one day when he, because we worked at the same work, and one day when I went into work when he was working, and like I squinted my eyes at him and I would go, "My name's Kyle, me no see too good." And he's like, "Shut up."
Well, I was driving with my son one day, and I collect sunglasses, so I have a ton of sunglasses. And I was like, "Hey, man, you want a pair of sunglasses?" He's like, "Nah, man, I got some naturals here. Like I just squint." He's like, "I don't need sunglasses, rookie." I'm like, "Shut up, man." He's got such a great sense of humor. I love him so much.
That's hysterical. It's so funny.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
Yeah, and
Oh.
then but like he couldn't joke around like that anymore. Dude, racist.
Oh, he
You're
still
racist.
does. He doesn't give a shit. I can't joke like that in his like acting like they're saying the things that he does, but he can, you
I think we should all be allowed to joke and say whatever we want
Oh, hell
because
yeah, that's what
freedom of
breaks the
speech.
tension. Yeah.
And just like if you don't like it, I don't know, cover your ears.
Yep.
We don't have to tell you.
It's not hate speech, it's humor, you know? It's people trying to deal with the trauma through laughter.
Yeah, exactly.
So, a lot of comedians are, you know, have been outspoken about this cancel culture because of them trying to tell jokes that should be funny and everybody's taking offense to it. And it's a sad, pathetic world we're living in. But I feel like we're starting to bounce back. I feel like this is going to be the bottom right now with Biden and the administration. And I think we're going to come back out of it and it's going to start going back up again. That's my prediction.
Oh, I'm not that hopeful. I'm glad you're very, you have so much positivity.
I'm an optimist.
Because I'm very afraid, very, very afraid for this country and what's gonna happen. And I have an orchard and I have a garden and growing asparagus and strawberries and all sorts of other shit. Because our food supply might, start to be non-existent or being rationed or whatever. You can call me a conspiracy theorist, but I can see that shit happening under Biden. And because they want us to be so dependent on them.
Oh yeah, I mean, you just passed that new bill where now we're going to start getting money for having kids. You know, what is it? 200, at least $250 per kid that you claim you're going to get each month.
Damn.
Yeah, you didn't hear about that?
No.
I don't know if he's trying to pass it right now, or he just talked about it. And everybody is supposed to receive at least $250 per child each month.
So are you single?
Yes.
You that went over your head.
Yes, it did.
I was making a joke. Yeah. did it hit you yet?
Nope, it does not. Are you trying to insinuate something?
Yes. I want $250 a month.
You like women.
I'm kidding. That's
what I have boobs. That's as close as I get.
No, I mean, it's 2021. You can identify as a woman now, though.
Oh, I forgot.
And you're a woman.
Yes.
As long as you identify as a woman, you are a woman.
Yeah, no, I have 5 kids already, so I'm set. So you got to find somebody else.
That's great. Oh,
so much fun. All right, Alexis. Well, this was amazing. I typically stop these at an hour because if it goes beyond an hour, all of a sudden the audio gets all messed up.
Okay.
So, but thank you so much for being on here. This is definitely a lot of fun.
It was, and thank you for having me. And it was my very first podcast ever.
Really?
You popped my podcast, Jerry.
I am honored. Hopefully you'll get a kid out of it and you can start claiming $250 a month. You know?
Hey, there we go.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And you have a wonderful night.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.